This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rugbiz Podcast. We've got a huge guest in store for you, the wonderful Jason Fox. But just before we get him on, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. You weren't melting last week.
Well, you weren't around last week. Well, I just
you said it was a different time. I rocked up. There was no one here.
I just rebranded. It was the Archie C.H.A.T. show. Show. Yeah, it was good. I missed you.
I know, I miss you too.
It's nice to have my yin to yang. You know, I'm a rugby boy. People do think you might play hockey. I don't know.
That's a bit weird.
But, you know, two different characters there. But I missed you along my side, but it was a successful week. Yeah.
Autumn Nations Cup, just quickly.
Absolutely loving it.
Have you been down to Wickham?
I went to watch England Fiji. Yeah, bloody good day.
Did you?
Yeah, standard.
Go on,
it
quickly.
It was me, Clipsy, and then there was obviously that's why I'm grumpy. It's Patrick Curtis. He's obviously.
Why was he there?
No chat, Pat. But that's the thing, is if you're charging 160 quid for England Fiji.
Yeah.
You know, some people won't want to pay it. So he came anyway. We did lash. You know, it was pre-chop Clapham Junction, lunch Richmond, beer AO St. Margaret's, rugby, and then afterwards Guinness beer tent. And we were absolutely, it was a good day. Really good fun. And then the England boys are playing well. And that was the main thing I was saying to people after the game and have been saying all week. You know, I've been talking to clients just saying, yeah, look, you know, they're certainly coming along with Steve Borthwick. You know, that's the interesting thing. And the insight you get from podcasts these days, you know, just sort of regurgitate that to people. It's interesting. The hybrid player, you know, that's a real talking point. Can Earl fit into the centre? I definitely think he can.
I think he can. A lot of people have been messaging Ari, your relationship with Blazers. You haven't seen him, like nothing going. He obviously had a Chinese wife. They moved out. Like, what's happened?
Yeah, he's with Wen Lee. He lives in Guildford. Probably quite interesting to announce that, yeah, obviously Don't Drop the Egg was quite a big thing back in the day. Potentially there could be someone filming. A company have come along and said they might film me for Silly Season.
Right.
And Blazers. Blazers is going to make an appearance, yeah.
Fucking hell.
As well as Freddie Shepherd as well.
Oh, that is big news.
Well, that's
Don't Drop the Egg X2. Don't Drop the Egg.
I don't want to go into too much detail. We haven't started filming it. It's obviously going to be filmed in December. So
Don't Drop the Egg Silly Season?
Potentially.
Well, on such good news, let's go on even better news that Mr. Jason Fox is here. Let's get him in. Well, we're now delighted to be joined by one of the most dangerous men in the world. in Jason.
Are you talking about me?
Obviously not you.
Okay.
Well,
I actually thought you were talking about him.
Well, no, well, in some respects he is.
I've got dangerously good chat.
Well, yeah.
I'll get you.
Yeah, we can be the judge about that. But a fellow Clappermite, Jason Fox, he's been on the show a couple of times before. He's done a live show for us. We did a live show on Valentine's Day. Now, let me get this right.
Was that Valentine's Day?
Yeah. I think maybe your wife is pregnant or you were recently married and you said, you know what, we're not going to fucking celebrate Valentine's Day together. I'm doing a live rugby show to 300 lonely men in London.
Yeah.
But what a night.
What a night. And the stage was perfect. You could only see our feet. It was a wonderful...
It was a great venue.
People came to listen to you two and I was just like this... Gooseberry. I was.
No. You're a big pool. And that's why people came. What I really enjoyed about that show is if there was an audience there, but on the left... hand corner there was the Champions League football and
I think it's a championship they're watching like Derby
that's what I like to do. I think if we do more live shows, let's make sure there's a corner where people can watch championship football,
maybe National League.
Forest Green Rovers.
Since we last spoke in the studio or together on the show, you've become a father for the third time.
I have, yeah.
Come on, take us through. Are you up all night? Obviously you can join Archie in his pain.
My wife grafts, so she does an awful lot of the slog because obviously, you know, she's the mum, breastfeeding and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it can be painful. He's actually really good. He's awesome, apart from last night. Last night was, to say it was a shit show would be to put it literally.
Right, okay.
He's teething. He's got a bit of a cold. Ugh. The teething apparently gives him the shit.
So my nanny says.
So last night was our first or my first sort of real
shit explosion.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I've actually had the honour of meeting Jack because I'm in talks with Foxy. Hopefully at the time that Jack becomes 20 years old, he will become the CEO of Clapham. That's the plan.
The handover's already started.
Yeah, that, and I'm hoping that I can hook him up with Johnny Jono. I think that would be a great combination. She might take him down. I hope he's into older women.
Yeah, she's a bit of a cougar for him.
She'd eat him alive right now. But yeah.
Talking of tough, though, you had a tough night last night with the shits. Well, you didn't. Your kid did. Mm. You said that golf is as tough as SAS training. I mean, is that just the way to get out of the house? That can't be real.
I think golf, it is... It's all about the mental approach. So yeah, it's the same. I think it sets you up well. Like you can't afford to lose your shit when you're on the battlefield because you're going to make some pretty poor decisions if you do that. And it's the same for golf. Golf teaches you discipline whilst performing under extreme pressure.
Really?
I see that because with golf, you've got to have the same approach, the same setup. It is all in your head.
Mm.
Because even in that split second when you're throwing the club back, everything can go through your head. You know, you can go back and be like, God, where am I going in life? What am I going to do? And then back, and you've duffed it. Left.
And it's gone.
You know? what I like to do...
So what's the tactic? Then?
Well, you know my tactic.
Yeah,
I mentioned it. The RYA, relax your arsehole. Yeah. You get to the ball, breathe through your mouth, breathe through your ass, swing that club, and just know it's going to be good. Half the time, you know... I'm giving away tricks of the trade, and this will be in my book coming out next Christmas.
Yeah.
Is sometimes I don't even know what I'm going to do or what I'm going to say. I just pretend that I'm really good at it, and it just happens. It comes off of me.
Well, the advice worked for the Live Golf boys, didn't it?
Yes, they did. We did some stuff at Live Golf, and I gave them that advice, and they absolutely
loved won the tournament.
Yeah. Louis Utehazen.
And Dean Brewmaster, isn't it?
That's awesome. Yeah. I've played golf with Arch.
Have you?
Yeah. He is annoyingly.
Really? What about Simmer? Similar. Difficult
what I will
conditions.
Say the conditions were horrific.
Mm.
We were, I can't even remember where the course was, but it was pissing down. Ugh. Pissing down. I lost my club a couple of times, not through anger, but just through
slippery.
And I think that was the point where Foxy just turned to me and he said, look, I love the way that you can adapt to your environment and the conditions. And he said, you know, it's a shame you're of your age because you could have potentially had a real career in the military, the way you've just adapted.
One thing I will say is I carry my clubs and I load it up and I carry a heavy bag because I feel like that's part of it. He had like a trolley.
Yeah,
in the
really?
Yeah.
Like Goody.
But I'm very delicate. I don't want anything to disrupt, you know, the way I've been.
No, right. So
yeah.
There are rumours that both of you may be getting the new series of Traitors. What's the latest on that?
I don't want to comment. I think Foxy would be great on Traitors.
Come on, Foxy.
Would you like to do that?
So I'm thinking about this now. Now that you've mentioned it, I'm like, I haven't watched a lot of them, but I have recently.
Yeah.
And I started, and actually, you know, who, like, watching someone like Alan, he's just funny to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he does his facial expressions. Yeah, yeah. And also, I was like, how did they not know?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it's from a different angle. But
I think the exaggerated campness can cover it up a bit.
You're right, okay.
No, but I think that's actually like a psychological thing.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Fair enough. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I suppose it'd be interesting. I don't know. I don't know.
But do you think people would
nails, though, isn't it? It's hard.
Well, it's a long day filming. I know that. And it's not straightforward. But also, do you think people would have preconceived ideas? Because that's what they go on. And so that's the problem. You're going there. Because first of all, they're just trying to figure out who Claudia is going to pick.
Yeah.
That's all they're going on. You have no feeling. You've got to go and hatch. But I reckon you'd be quite good because you must know like tells and stuff like that.
It's not as easy as that. There are things that you can look for, but it's not a given. It's not gospel that because some people have just, they have their own ways that could be deemed as, you know, a trait of lying, but it doesn't mean it's genuine.
Here's a question just off the back of that, because that's interesting. But, you know, for instance, if you are like interrogating someone and you're saying that you're looking for tells, are some people so clued up in interrogation techniques that they would give out tells to show that they would double bluff a bluffer?
It can be done.
Triple bluff.
Good at you. There's people that can bluff lie detectors and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because they train themselves to do it. Or sometimes it might be someone who's a bit psychotic, you know, a bit of a sociopath or whatever that doesn't sweat under pressure. Well, doesn't give away those. Bit like you.
No. Archie. Well, my dad. My dad was an exceptional liar.
Why don't you?
And he really was in business and in life.
Why don't you take us through the highlights of your year, and then we can see if Foxy can work out if you're bluffing or if you're telling the truth.
Well, I mean,
lying.
No, I've had a phenomenal year. What do you want to talk about?
Your highlights.
Instagram highlights. I mean, I say Q1 was just phenomenal for me. Just kicked off the year with a bang. And I think, you know, you guys won't understand this, but when you're in a city, you're looking at the number, you're trying to hit a number. That's the number you're trying to get to. And I got ahead of my number in Q1. So I was very relaxed. And actually, when I'm relaxed and you're in that groove, very much like golf, you know, business comes easy.
Right.
I'd say that was a real highlight. Did a deal with a Japanese guy called Mr. Hyacho. And he was first time I met him. I took him for lunch with the Ned and we did the deal. That's a highlight. Rugby highlight. Joined Richmond Rugby Club.
Haven't played yet.
Injured.
But aren't you there? Because you have these players that are there for the dressing room. You're the glue that keeps them sort of together when they're out there.
Yeah.
Battling.
Well, Foxy, it's interesting you say that. I'd say, yeah, I think the boys have really enjoyed having me around. You know, I've got a lot of experience to give. I'm that Johnny Wilkinson effect. You know, I've been there, I've done it all. Weirdly, I mean, it's interesting, Foxy said, because I have been distracted. Because, you know, I'm very much into my filmmaking and writing scripts. We actually had, who's the guy that was on the podcast? Who's an actor who was on SAS, celebrity? Jeremy Irvine. He came on the pod and I pitched him a Christmas film and I've been working on a new script. And he's great. Like, he was great. He was in our Christmas song.
He was.
Went in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good guy. I like him a lot. His brother lives in Clapham. He's a big fan. Loves the Clapham stuff. But actually, I've been working on a script, Foxy, which should be pretty interesting. It's sort of based on our relationship. Been beavering away because, you know, we have formed a close bond. We live in the same area. And what I'm thinking about is I'm pitching it to Paramount and Channel 5 Plus One. and it's based on two guys. One guy who's from the city, who's really good looking, charming, you know, in great shape, more svelte. And then there's this guy, rugged guy, ex-military guy. In this film, he's from the Navy SEALs. He's American.
Okay.
But he's a big guy. He's a big hit in the gay community. They like him.
They call him
the bear.
Yeah.
And they form this unlikely friendship. And in Q3... 2037, the Russians come for the chicken in Clapham. And these two guys, one thing they love is chicken.
Right.
And I haven't really got to
crunch
it. That's
where I draw the line.
But basically what happens is they're out just walking around Clapham doing inspection. The guy who's sort of based on me loosely, he's employed the bear to do security around the common. And then together, the Russians invade, trying to take all the chicken from the supermarkets.
Right.
And the bear takes him back to his house and he presses a button and then guns come out. And he's like, have you ever shot a gun? And the guy's like, no, but I'm pretty good. Like I get stuff done in the city.
Yeah.
And then basically they ambush the Russians as they get into Waitrose in Clapham Common. That's the opening scene.
In the chicken aisle.
Together, then the government hire them as a secret team.
To be fair, there's never any chicken in that Waitrose.
No, I said, because the Russians have come for it. Yeah, exactly.
The Russians are already here.
So, I mean, so what do you think? I think it's quite a good
script. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Needs a bit of work.
I've been listening
to. Are they lovers in the end?
No.
I don't like the way you've got someone who's an icon, known as the bear, wandering around Clapham Common.
Yeah, yeah. And at nighttime, especially.
That's not based on me, that bit.
No. Well, he's loosely based on your skill set.
It's got legs.
I think it has got legs.
Needs a bit of work.
Yeah, I've been listening to a few like SAS audiobooks and just working out how we'd pattern it off. Against like maneuvering each other, like I'd go forward, then you'd go forward, and that kind of thing.
Okay. Well,
fire and maneuver.
Fire and maneuver. Yeah.
Talking about Russia, it does feel like Russia are about to invade Western Europe. I mean, how close is it?
I wouldn't know.
But how terrifying? What happens if they do? Are you going to go back? I mean, are you going to escape Jules and the kids?
We'll go back to the room that apparently I've got.
No, but being serious, if you get the call,
I can't get the call.
Never.
My time's done.
Really?
It's over. Yeah. Surely. I got medically discharged. I'm mad.
Yeah, but I can still. I saw you doing that 12-mile march the other day.
That's why I like you.
I mean, you looked unbelievable. You leading from the front.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, that was. I mean, you should have seen me afterwards.
Really?
It was also the route selection. The last 3 miles were over sand dunes.
Really?
It's like you're taking the. Anyway, yeah. But, it was good.
Okay.
I always like pushing myself. I don't need to push myself too far to find my limits nowadays, being nearly 50.
But being serious for a second, you know, what is the state of the British Army? You left it, you know, looking absolutely gorgeous in your little uniform, but where's it at now?
They're still good.
Yeah.
You've got to think about what the, okay, so it might be smaller, but you've got to think about its capabilities. You've also got to think about the thousands of, well, pretty much 1,000 years of fundamental structure that it's got. The good thing about the British military, the MOD, is they learn from all the mistakes that they've made. They're not arrogant enough to be like, well, we've never made any mistakes. They look at that, they build upon it, they write procedure, they write doctrine on it. So, you know, everyone likes to bad mouth and be divisive. It's not as bad as people make out it.
I'll just add to that. From a business standpoint, like in my office, we had a restructure recently and we lost a lot of people. A lot of them good riddance. More money for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone who stayed got a nice little top up on salary. But we're now more a streamlined outfit. So actually things get done in a more efficient way. So sometimes having more people doesn't actually add to it being better.
It can be clunky.
Yeah.
There's normally a lot of leadership that aren't leading an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say that's why sevens is good for me. Well, it was good for me back in the day. It was less clunky.
Yeah, yeah.
I just get the ball in hand.
Fast as well.
Fast. Yeah. I get direct. It done. Yeah, yeah, direct. You can evade people a little bit more with
your
gas.
Is that what you built your business sort of approach on, sevens?
It's interesting you say that, Foxy. Yeah, I think a lot of what I've taken from the rugby world, I've put into the business world. And I think there is a lot you can learn from the rugby. Because in rugby, you know, sometimes you have to be aggressive. You have to be bullish. You have to go through someone to get to the try line. But other times, you know, you can be a little bit more delicate, you know, soft hands, put it through the backs, maybe let someone else do the hard work and just take the glory. There's a lot you can learn from the rugby world.
Well,
and that's what I say to you all the time. You should take more lessons from the rugby world.
I should. Well, we're talking about the rugby world. I mean, you love going on tour. You're off on tour next year.
I am.
I mean, you're promising us some new stories, some exclusives. Can we get a couple today? I mean, that hostage mission in Afghanistan. We've asked you 3 times on the podcast. You are going in against 400 Afghans to take out a hostage, right?
We did the job for them.
Yeah, no, but what actually happened? Come on, give us a little something.
I can't talk to you about it. Nah, there's none of that in the show. There's none of that in the
really?
Talk. Nah. There's there. there's bits and pieces, and I allude to the military side of things, but I talk about one of the things that I do focus on is earlier this year in March, me and three other lads did an Arctic Ultra, 514 kilometers through the Lapland wastes, frozen wastes, and it is the worst thing I've done.
Really?
Yeah, hardest thing I've ever done.
How good?
Brutal. Harder than the Atlantic, harder than the Yukon, the North Pole, all that sort of stuff, because the out was easy. There was always an easy out. You could chin it off whenever you wanted. There was always that option. You get to another checkpoint and it's nice and warm and don't have to go back out into the cold if it's an indoor checkpoint. Mm. And you could see people falling by the wayside, some for injury, some because I think maybe it was just, you know, a bit too grim. So that temptation, it definitely cemented my relationship with self-doubt, as in I know I can get over it. Because, you know, when you're older and you're absolutely hanging, I mean hanging, you're getting up, you're in a tent, it's taking you an hour to dig the tent into position before you get your head down. You have a couple of hours sleep, you wake up, you've got to boil your water, you've got to boil your snow to make water. It's you're like that, and it's like minus 26 out of that tent, and you're bursting for a pee. You're like, what am I doing? I'm not even getting paid for this shit. I don't have to be here. And then you're like, ah, fuck it, I'll just get up.
Do it again. How good did it feel at the end?
It was a relief more than anything. And the end as well. Christ. Like, you could see the finish line. It was like it was on. We were on a moving platform. It just didn't get any closer. We got there in the end, yeah. It was good, yeah.
And do you think now you're going to seek more things like that because it gives you something?
I've always, like, when I got to the end of that Arctic Ultra, I was like, I am never, in fact, the guy that wrote me into it, I swore never to speak to him again. I was like, you're a twat. We speak. It's all good. We're friends.
No, same with me.
But I was like, you know, I'm never going to do that again. That was literally as we crisscrossed the finish line. 2 days later, I was like, I reckon I could do it quicker. So I think there's a weird switch in there that there's something in me that wants to hurt me.
But I think that is, I think that's really important. I think that's something that I think people who are generally successful or are more content in life, they look for. I think too many people, you can become complacent, can't you? You can just have an easy life. We don't have to do as simple as, like, you don't have to go for a run every day, do you? Or you don't have to go to the gym. But the people who do it, they get something from it, and you can then try and beat your run, or you can try. Does that make sense?
Yeah, complacency and mediocrity is the death of an individual.
Yeah.
If you become comfortable in your surroundings, chances are you're going to just wither away and not really experience life. You're not going to experience growth.
Well, I will tell you two things from that. Can we get that clipped up? I'm going to play that to my daughter tonight.
Yeah.
And also... Yeah, I don't.
Johnny Jono doesn't need that sort of inspiration.
No,
she does.
She is not soft, mate. She is hard as nails. I mean, she barely sees me. I mean, coming into December, she won't see me for weeks.
She'll
be with the babysitter. But also, I don't really like to hang around people who are mediocre or complacent.
Are you looking forward to the silly season?
Oh, mate,
I'm looking forward to those posts.
I can't wait.
Very soon.
Yeah.
Next week,
basically. No, 2 weeks' time. And yeah, I am ready for it. I've been in training, and this silly season's going to be a good one.
I want a rendezvous with you at this silly season.
We can do it. We should get Snowy Danger again to come join us in the pub. I'm looking forward to it. It's a big season for me. I don't want to give too much away, but obviously last silly season, I was trying to hopefully catch up with my dad, which never happened. But the big guy, I know he sometimes watches YouTube, not necessarily this, but he does sometimes go on YouTube. So hopefully he comes across this video. Alistair, I'm hoping that I will say,
so cool.
But this year, I think this silly season will be easier because I've got this big deal. It's almost a guarantee. So that if that comes in week one, week two, then I've made it.
Like, does that take the pressure off for Q1?
Next year, yeah. Mm. Because silly season is all about next year. And it is, that's the thing you're talking about, mediocrity, being complacent. You can be complacent in the corporate world. You can just think things are going to fall in your lap. But silly season is where it is, you know, it's the attitude you've got to take into it. You have to be out there to win it. People can, you know, the weak book annual leave and the strong book tables at Hawksmoor. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. So, I agree there. I've been in that second category a few times.
Well, talking about Hawksmoor, I mean, what, you know, we know a lot about the operations, obviously, SBS, SAS do, but what's the actual, like, evenings like? You don't have a mission. Do you get a couple of beers, a pack of fags, some steak? Like, what's the food like? Like, give us an insight into
this. What's the evenings like where?
Well, like, when you have a day off, or like, a night off. You're in Iraq, you're in Afghanistan. It never happens.
Yeah.
You never sit down and, like, get your cards out, pass the joint out.
So, like, my era, so it's changed now, and I don't know really what it's like now, and I'm sure it's not dissimilar, but they've moved on. When we would go away and we'd deploy, so we'd go on an operational tour, you live in with these guys for 6 months plus sometimes. And so, and a lot of the time you are working, it's relentless. The hours are relentless, you're nighttime working, but every now and again you might not go out. And, you know, we all live in it's like a prefab, like a hut accommodation. You've got rooms off like the main corridor.
It's like boarding school.
Yeah, like boarding school. Yeah. You've got a TV room, you've got a kitchen.
Yeah.
And we'll play silly games, play cards, watch a bit. In the old days, not so much because the infrastructure weren't there, but you'd stream football, rugby, the Olympics, sit around watching an event.
Are you allowed to drink and stuff or not?
No, not really. We had ways. We found ways of getting booze, but we were always the old MPs were always after us, not the members of parliament, the military police, but they always found out that we had a stash.
Really?
We had a stash of lash.
Well, so it's like boarding school.
It's like boarding school. I had a stash of tuck or you know, FHM magazines.
Yeah, they were a thing back then. Yeah,
right, Kirsty Gallagher. I had Kirsty Gallagher right up on my wall, and then I got to meet her.
Wow.
That was on the cycle.
Yeah. And it was in France when we were in a charity, and I remember just seeing Kirsty Gallagher for the first time and thinking, I can't believe this. I had your poster on my boarding school wall.
Yeah. Many nights I've thought about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, many nights.
Yeah, I've rubbed on it, yeah. Iraq, Afghanistan, you must get ill out there. I mean, do you get the shit? Like, you're SBS. What the fuck do you have to do, like, when you got the shit?
I remember there was once I got a serious, serious case of something, and I was literally vomiting and shitting at the same time. Calling out to one of the lads, like I was in a mess. But like most of the guys are trained, you know, they're at the level of a paramedic. They know what they're doing. So the lad dragged me out, banged two lines into me, and before you knew it, I felt right as rain.
Sounds like a night out with Goody.
Exactly.
Poor Andy Good. I'm about to do a program with him at GB News. It's going to be really fun. It's like a new talk show.
Really?
Yeah, where we just interview like right-wing figures in the world. Foxy, just in terms of, like, I guess it's Movember and we're talking about mental health and, like, you know, being in the military. And when you were in the SAS, don't they put you in groups where you all complement characters? And how easy in those environments can you... Do they put you in? Because there's different divisions, right? And well, aren't there different divisions, like an airborne division?
Well,
not really. Oh, but do they put you in your...
The structure is that there's a group of people that will specialise in air deliveries for parachuting. There'll be a group that specialise in mobility, which is vehicles, amphibious, and so on and so forth. But you all still are in the same group and you all do the same things together. There's just, you are an SME in something as a subject matter expert. When it comes to like what we're like, we're not all the same. That would be boring. Everyone is different.
Did you have conflict with people? Does that happen? Okay. And then in that environment, I guess because of Movember, I was talking to Mel Dean the other day about this. Like, is it easy to open up to each other? Or was that back in the day? Was it difficult?
No, weirdly, it was easy to open up. It wasn't easy to fix things because. Like, it's funny, you'd find yourself opening up in the weirdest of places. Like, we'd be in the back of a helicopter. Now, it's too noisy. It's too noisy. We're flying somewhere. We'd then land, say, as an example, in the middle of the desert, and we'd have to wait. We'd be waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
Blistering sunshine. You just sat there. There'd be a rugby ball in the back of the helicopter, so you can just...
Yeah.
You know, it's like playing Frisbee and whatnot.
Sounds great fun. I'd love to toss a bit about.
Sometimes you just sat there, and you're just chatting to your mate, and you're like, oh, mate, what's, you know... How's it going? Start talking about home issues, dramas, how you feel, how it makes you feel, you know, all the usual stuff that goes on in everyone's lives, yeah. whether it's relationship issues, financial issues, you start talking about it and you sort of are able to thrash it out. But then something happens, like, sorry, you're there for the job. You know, you're in the middle of a deep conversation. Then someone's like, all right, we're off. We're going to go and get these bad guys. And you're like, oh, okay, I've got to start switching on again. And you never really finish it off. And you don't. And I think that's where it was with me. I never really finished off my conversations.
Yeah.
You know, to use as an analogy. And that's why it sort of caught up with me.
Because I was thinking about this, obviously, the other day and recently, you know, like it's extraordinary how many men sort of end their life under the age of 40. Like, it's so sad. And I was thinking, like, coming here, that you would have probably been in the ultimate masculine environment, as people would have deemed it. Mm. And it's quite interesting that, like...
It is, but you're still just guys. It is, you know, you'd think of this, you think that it's ultimately the most masculine place.
Yeah.
It is. You know, it is and it isn't. You're going out and you're doing, it's like graft. I can't even explain how hard and how relentless that job is.
Yeah.
And the pressures, like jumping out the back of an aircraft at night, and you know that the guys that you're with, you've got all land within a 50 meter square. Sure. But the pressure on trying to do that is like navigating your way through the darkness, trusting your instruments, hoping that the guys are with you, talking to them, wondering where they are. There's a lot of pressure that's on you. If you're the guy that's leading that stick, that stack, that's before you even get into a fight. You're doing all this sort of stuff. So there is, but that said, they're still really sensitive people. They do the job because most blokes do that job because they want to help people.
Yeah.
They're doing it because they sacrifice a lot. They genuinely do. They love the blokes. They don't you don't necessarily get on with each other, but you do love them.
Yeah.
It's weird, mate. It's weird. It's like there's a lot of trust. And you do talk about things. You do, you know, blokes get upset about fucking shit because that's what happens.
Well, it sounds a lot like my university initiation. When you're talking about being in a dark tunnel with people behind you and having to trust them to get through it. Yeah.
Yeah, Bristol UE.
Bristol
UE.
Bristol.
Does anything take
Bristol
you back?
University. I
mean, obviously, we're talking about PTSD there. Like, you obviously were discharged, as you said earlier. But I was speaking to someone the other day about smells or sights or sounds. Is there anything where you sort of least expect it nowadays? You're sort of walking through a, I don't know, Dishoom, and suddenly you hear something or smell something. I don't know.
Dishoom?
I don't know. We're next to Dishoom.
Dishoom?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just like smells an Afghani movie.
So I don't get ambushed by it, as in it doesn't trip me up and I'm in a hole or fucking, you know, blubbing to myself because I'm having a flashback.
Yeah.
But things do, I reflect on it now. Like, live in London, every now and again you'll hear, Clapham, sorry.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you'll hear a Chinook, you know, a CH-47 helicopter go over. It's a distinctive sound. Now, they're the things that we spent a lot of time in. And I'm like, oh, and I've become nostalgic. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to get to fly in one of them again, really.
Mm.
Which isn't a bad thing, to be honest, because they're fucking noisy. My hearing's done because of them things sat in the back of them. They get thrown around all over the place, but they're, you know, it's just a thing. And then if I'm at the airport, you're walking onto an aircraft, you smell aviation fuel. That's a trigger. Like smelling aviation fuel, smelling, if I'm out in the, you know, in a rural area, you can smell manure. For some reason that brings it back. You know, it's a very sort of rural, they're rural communities that we used to operate in. There's manure, there's livestock. It's weird things like that.
Yeah.
It's not like a car backfiring and me diving for cover, telling everyone to get on the floor.
No,
it's just normal stuff, but it's not like it's a trigger. It's more of just a
tasty bit.
Weirdly, when a car does backfire, I do dive for cover.
From Bristol again?
No, that's from when I was very young, my dad on the shoot, when he used to send me out.
Sad about that.
He send you out doing what?
Well,
he treats you like a gun duck, essentially.
No, you know, he would. Yeah, I'd go shoot you with my dad. He'd shoot the gun, and I'd go find her.
So you know, so you would have fitted in well as a youngster in the military, because there's when you come under fire, but you can't tell where it's from. You have to look for certain things. You know, there's like there's certain things that you look for. But if all of those things fail, you then revert to movement, and what that means is you pick the youngest guy and you tell him to run across a no man's land, essentially, and draw fire so you can be right there they are.
Really? Does that still exist?
No, you wouldn't necessarily do that, right, unless it was really an issue.
Very desperate.
But you'd probably have to you know, volunteer yourself. Otherwise, you look like a right wanker.
Can you imagine that now? There'd be some youngin on the phone like that, like that. And then you'd be like, Archie, you know, yep. You're like, we need you to go out there. We're like, fuck off. You're joking. And they're like, okay, well, what do
you
I do?
I mean, you can zigzag.
Oh, well, because of my rugby ability, I'd actually be very good. I'd be invasive. I'd be like that. Like that. What do you need me to do? You need me to get down to the try line? Absolutely. What am I dodging? Defenders, bullets. Brilliant.
Archie's threatening to do another sort of epic charity challenge. You've done so many. I mean, you've also doing some good collabs. Alaska, you got that beautiful freebie on the cruise ship this year. Can I that like a good one? But 2019, you kayak 2,000 miles.
I,
right? Look,
I, can yeah. I just say that I went to see Foxy's last tour, and that was fascinating. I loved the story about the bear.
Well, can we get it now? Because I wanted to ask you. You had some close shaves in Alaska.
Yeah.
Can you give us a couple of your sort of
people have heard it?
Not this time around on the 5-star cruise.
But we no, not on the 5-star cruise. Although me and that 5-star cruise. So I had signed up to that a while ago, and the sort of thing was I could take a plus one, my missus, and she'd been looking forward to this like you wouldn't believe. And then she goes and gets herself pregnant. We got pregnant.
Yeah.
And it was a long time coming, so it's, you know, it's amazing. But she couldn't come, so I took a mate out, which didn't go down so well.
Really?
You know, I'm phoning every now and again. How's it going? The baby's screaming in the background, she's like asking me what I'm doing. I'm like, well, it's actually quite hard. I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah.
But we went out for walks when we like docked and that. And there was a few times where me and Woody were like, I think we've come too far into the wilderness here. And I'm like, I only know too well where them fuckers are and that they skirt around the outskirts of town.
The bears.
The bears.
Yeah, polar bears.
No, grizzlies, mate.
Oh, grizzlies.
Black and brown, but the browns are the ones you want to worry about.
Okay.
The grizzlies, yeah. So me and Sean, when we did the Yukon in 2019, towards the end of the trip, we stopped for lunch on a sandbar. It was a big, like, it was almost like an island. And the first thing you do when you stop for a lunch break or even in the evening when you're in a camp is you look, scout around the local area looking for any bear sign, footprints, shit, you know, that sort of stuff. There wasn't any, so it gives you the warm, fuzzy feeling. Now, we had a load of wet kit that we needed to dry out. Sun was out, laid it out on the beach and then went around having a bite to eat for lunch. And we always have a little siesta, a little 20-minute just to cat nap before we get back in the boat.
Yeah.
So we laid there. I fucking checked my watch. I'm like, oh, that's 20 minutes. I've got to get going again. So I'm like getting up. I'm limbering up. I'm going over to the kit. Kit's now dry. Morale is revitalized. I'm packing it away. Sean has gone and stood on this sort of sandbank to survey the scenery because it is unbelievable. We are in one of the last wildernesses on the planet.
Yeah.
And he's looking. And he's like, oh, look, is that a moose or a bear? And I'm like, and he's been banging on like this for the whole trip that you can see wildlife. And then we get a bit closer and it's like a fucking log or a bush. Once in a while, you'd see a bald eagle, a golden, you know, see some cool stuff. Anyway, I'm like, fuck it. What is he going on about this time? Anyway, I thought I'd go and have a look. So I've gone and I've walked over to him. I've drawn level with where he stood like this. And as I've got to him, he's turned and sprinted towards the boat shouting, it's a fucking grizzly. And I'm like, hey, what? And I'm looking to where I thought he was looking and I can't see shit. And I'm like, what's he fucking going on about? And then something catches my eye, a glance, and there 50 yards away is a fucking grizzly bear. It's low and it's sort of like skulking. It's almost like stalking us. And its head was like that. It was honestly, and my ass fell out. It is the most scared. I can't even comprehend how it felt. But I remember turning to Sean and shouting, don't run, because we were being told by the rangers before we went up into the the sticks, that in the event of a bear encounter, especially a grizzly, you do not run. And as he was running, he turned to me and shouted, fuck off. And that's when I ran. And we ran. What? Fortunately, we had the boats, dived in the boats, pushed into the water, into the river, into the flow, held station. Bear was there, sniffing around. All our kit was still there. And then it disappeared over into the dead ground, onto the other side of the bank and disappeared. We spent like 20 minutes deliberating as to who was going to go and get the rest of the kit. Scissor paper rocked it and he lost. He was in there.
Why shouldn't you move with a grizzly bear?
Well, just because it's like running away from a dog, really. If you think it's a game, then,
Okay.
But the game to the bear is it's going to like literally cut your head off with its fucking fingernails.
No, because when we go out, me and the rugby boys, there is this girl, Charlene, from the Clapham Ladies Hockey Club, she's a lovely girl. Best way to put it politely in this day and age, she's bubbly. And that's the same advice they say to her in nightclubs. Because
don't run.
Yeah, don't run. Because she'll get you. And she thinks it's a game. And one of the boys, she chased him all the way back to his house and he ended up sleeping with her.
Oh, yeah. She didn't cut his head off with her fingers.
No. Okay. She just got the goods. Okay. So, yeah.
Was that as tough as rowing across the Atlantic? I mean, four other guys when he did it. That must have been no privacy, 50 days.
The Atlantic was a grueling session. The Yukon wasn't as bad because even if me and Sean had had enough of each other, at the end of the day, we get out of the boats and we're fucking doing our own thing and all that. You've got space, you know, we're in the biggest wilderness on the planet almost. The row, you're in. That's the reason why those things are easier though, because when you're in it, once you've committed, you that's you. Unless you die, you're doing it.
Mm.
Unlike the Arctic one, you're in, but it's, you still got that little, oh, you could be in a hotel tonight if you sack it off. You could be in a hotel drinking a beer.
Yeah.
Whereas that one, but yeah, that was, you know, we're on an 8.5 meter long boat with four other guys. So there's five of us. It was
four on, one sleeping, or
honking. No, it's 2 hours on, 2 hours off for 50 days.
I can't, no, I,
but because there was five of us,
do you get wanking or not?
One day you can have off in five. One day in five, you'll be off, but you're not off. You're cooking everyone's food, you're doing all the admin. I managed to get one in. Yeah.
No,
it was like Vesuvius. I didn't know what to do.
He was sinking the boat.
Yeah. I was like, it was during the day, and I was like, Aldo was on his watch, and I was like, I was getting a bit frisky. I was like, I'll have a go. Hopefully, he doesn't.
Best thing I've learned from that is just mop it up and just put it back. You're in a dirty environment anyway.
Yeah.
That is one thing I just could. I really want to do more challenges because I really like, you missed the bike ride this year, but that was.
I reckon we should do?
What?
Is we need to, you know, we're doing a few things, aren't we, together? Some charity sort of.
Yes, we are. Lot. Yes, we are. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing people out.
What I really want to do, putting it out there,
is
taking some people and canoeing the middle section of that Yukon. So from Whitehorse to Dawson, it's 470 miles. It's about 10 days of paddling. It's unbelievable. It was, so we had two mates that come and join us for that stretch, two good lads. It was probably the best lads holiday I've ever had.
Really
disconnected every night, camping, whiskey,
couple of beers,
out, singing, fire going, marshmallows. It'll remind you of your initiations, probably.
That was scouts,
sorry,
with Mr. Damina,
sticky marshmallows,
Mr. Damina, scout leader,
But that I mean, we
he's dead
if
now.
we can
no,
I
I'd be really keen. Is it physically hard though? Because what I did enjoy about the cycle this year, when I did it, it was grueling. I was absolutely. Got to the end of the day. I was like, this is I'm wrecked.
The thing is,
so I like that feeling.
This, it's graft to the point where you're roughing it.
Okay,
it is, you've got to put a bit of effort in, but it's. It's not like the cycle. It's not like you're fucked.
Yeah.
But after, you know, after day five of being on the river and just getting out and camping, and it is, you know, it can be a graft.
No, I'm keen for that.
It's more enjoyable.
No, I really want to do that. I just think it's a good, I like the idea. I'm guess everyone does, but I like the idea of doing something. You know, when you've got a platform, you know, over 100,000 followers. I don't know, folks have got a million. But then you think you're putting something, you're doing something for someone else. You know, like Vitamin D, I just think like, you're getting something from, but you know someone else is getting something from your enjoyment rather than doing something just for the experience of it.
But we would, you imagine you're there and essentially your job on the trip is also to host the evenings, is to have a crack.
That's where I come in.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
For the physical, I'd just bring me in.
Me
in. I'll be mute all day and then I just come in.
Just bait you in.
Yeah, I could do business lectures. No, I would love to do that.
Are you not doing pole to pole next year or not?
What's pole to pole?
Isn't that North Pole to South Pole? You doing something like that?
No.
Some, no? Okay.
No, none of that. No.
Just going back on the PTSD thing quickly, I saw that they're now trialing ecstasy as a way to get rid of it. Is that
I've
right?
been trialing that for years.
Yeah, yeah. Is that right? I read
that. They've been trialing an awful lot. The Americans are leading in it. So yeah. MDMA.
Ketamine.
I think they are using ketamine. Yeah. They're also psilocybin, some mushrooms essentially, but you know.
It's like a night out in Brixton, that one you did.
But they don't, but it's the microdosing that they do. So what they do is, and it's in a controlled environment, right. There's a therapist or a coach, and they microdose. So what it does is it opens up neurological pathways and it basically makes you easier to talk to, and you're easier to talk at, and you deliver more, and you're more embracive of things that you probably wouldn't take on board.
Right.
And yeah, that's what they're doing. I don't know whether they're doing it.
Start playing bass guitar. Weird, singing Bob Marley.
Weed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think mozzarella does that for me.
What?
Yeah.
What about burrata?
Burrata as well, yeah. Anything that's a high protein cheese. Right. If I have a mozzarella and tomato balsamic vinegar salad at night, then I feel like I'm much more open to opening up. Yeah. Interesting.
What about the Amazon? Would you ever go about that? I mean, Inside the Real Narcos.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm always keen to go back, but I think TV's appetite for danger has waned.
Well, it's moving to YouTube now,
isn't it? Danny Boy 83, have you come across him?
Danny Boy 83?
Yeah, you've got to check it. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, is he on social?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you've got to say, he's in Brazil at the moment.
Is he the guy on the coke?
Yeah, the guy, he's off his rocker. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely extraordinary. Yeah, yeah. I only came around it yesterday.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I was like, how is this going on? It's very funny.
On the tour, there'll be some more in-depth talk on Narcos. I sort of skimmed on it on the last one, but we'll go into some specific stories that happened on there. The more sort of dangerous ones where we were getting chased out of jungle cocaine labs and
why is TV got no appetite for that? Because surely people enjoy that.
I enjoy
watching documentaries.
But their hunger for risk is evaporated.
Because the insurance.
Insurance, and it can get you like. We had a hit put out on us. There was negotiating going on there. Money swapped hands. We got extorted. We saw a chopped up body. We're in the, there was a gunfight going on and all sorts. So there is, you go and do it once or channels and platforms, they do it numerous times. And then in the end, they're like, we're sort of dabbling with the laws of probability here that something might. So maybe that's why. I think the world is slightly different.
It's time for you to get a proper YouTube thing going, isn't it? Yeah. I know obviously your history channel's going incredibly well on YouTube, but like YouTube is king nowadays.
Then you could then
I know.
Then you
but then you yeah.
Did you ever watch
we'll
Outdoor
talk
Boys?
About that offline
yeah.
in a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a headache, mate. I just want to go and do it.
Yeah.
I'll go and buy a load of cameras, red cameras, whatever you want to call them. I'll learn how to use them and I'll go and do it.
Did you ever watch Outdoor Boys, the guy who goes to like Alaska and fucking camps for 3 days by himself? Became the biggest YouTuber in the world. Yeah.
I love all that
Amazing.
Shit. Yeah. I'd love to, I've got some ideas, but you got,
You're looking very tanned. Have you been away?
Just the Ultra 4 charity. We've not spoken about that.
Yeah.
Well, go on.
Tunisia. Me and two other guys, we set up an ultra marathon event initiative, we like to call it, because we are raising money for charities. We go out there and ask charities if they want to be a part of this thing. Each event we will represent a genre of charity. So the first one were veterans charities because that's our heritage.
Yeah.
We're going to do one next year for children's charities. We're doing two next year. One is going to be for veterans charities again. The next one will be children's charities, and then we're going to expand and grow the series. And so there will be a Swedish one, so an Arctic one.
Oh, that sounds good.
That will be for cancer charities, and then we want to do a jungle one, which will be for wildlife.
Swedish
and then
jungles.
We'll keep running these things, and then we're going to, if there's the opportunity to do an ultra for a big charity that wants to have their own bespoke one, then we can do that. But the brand's Ultra for Charity, we ran it in Tunisia, the first one a few weeks ago. Yeah. It was graft. It was real graft, but we got it away and everyone loved it. We had a great time. The 100K has slept out under the stars in this amazing camp. We had a DJ playing. Yeah. And in that one weekend, we raised those people. We raised just shy of 230 grand.
Fucking
so
hell.
That's cool.
That is amazing.
Archie, would you match that?
Weirdly, I don't want to Topple Foxy scene, but I'm also doing an ultra
double ultra.
Double ultra company, and we are
with you and Spencer Matthews.
Yeah, me and Spencer Matthews. We are getting together, and it's just that we're quite. There's that guy actually that I met on the cycle, Mitch, who swam the channel
on the Irish cycle.
Yeah, on the Irish channel.
The one that I wasn't on.
Yeah, really good lad. Took your place, put you to shame.
He swam the channel,
ran Europe. Cycled Asia.
Hang on, what does Run Europe look like?
I don't know, but he did it and then climbed Everest.
Ugh.
He's
you swam the Thames, didn't you?
No, that was Wellings.
I'm not confusing you with Wellings.
No, there are quite lots of the bear.
The guy from Gay Bear.
Just quickly, just on SES, Who Dares Wins, obviously, I'm a massive fan. I was thinking this today when I was coming here. I was going to ask you a question because obviously all the celebrities, in your world, you're out and about, sometimes you'll meet people. Have you ever met someone prior to them coming on the show? And is that awkward?
Yes, I've met a few of them.
And then
prior
you've had to
coming on the show. It's not all. It's maybe they find it awkward. I'm quite happy to just switch off, and just go into mad mode.
But is there a bit where they'll be like, "All right, Foxy," and then you're like, "Do you have to be like?"
There's no opportunity for that unless I instigate it. So if they do well in my eyes, they've got to better get past a certain point. Then I might start becoming a little bit more lighthearted. But
because what would happen if Archie went on? You wouldn't be able to resist.
I would.
Well, he'd be like the mole. He'd be like a spy because he's so.
I've got an operator. Yeah, I've got respect. I'd come out and just be like, guys, I'm actually one of the DS. Is it DS?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the DSs. Yeah.
Well, what does it stand for, DS?
Direct Sergeant.
Directing Staff.
Directing Staff, yeah.
We're going to do a Clubhouse story and then we're going to finish with Chat or No Chat.
Okay, because this is a new thing now, that the guest is here with a Clubhouse story. We had one with Kenny Logan, which we had to scrap for various reasons.
Legal reasons. Involved Bristol Bears.
It actually implicated some rugby players.
In Britain.
We don't know. Could have been a club. In the west of the country.
West of England.
Okay,
this is a Clubhouse story from Adam Turbell. He says, a lad I played with at the very start of the season told us his best sex story, which was pretty insane.
Okay. I like...
Do you have a good one?
I like those stories because I have. Yeah, I've done it. I've done it.
But you and the old woman, you and the old woman always stand out when she put you to bed in her kid's bed.
Yeah. Well, that old lady I dated in Clapham. Yeah, she had a place right next to the Sun pub. She was in her late 50s, early 60s, and we had this wild romance.
Go on. Remind us what happened that night.
No, we used to go drinking. She was in great. She used to go to number 32. You all know there's a lot of older divorcees there. Sometimes I like to go down there on a Tuesday night when I'm feeling lonely because I lived by myself at that point and met this wonderful woman. She was great. And we had this wild romance, but she just liked to put me to bed as like a mother would a son. And that just became a bit too weird for me. You know, we would do it and then she would...
Put a nappy on?
No. Well, she did suggest that. She used to put me in my gym jams. She called them gym jams. She used to go, we'd do headers and volleys downstairs in the kitchen, if you know what I mean. And then she said, should we go upstairs? And then she would say stuff like, make sure you brush your teeth and make sure you go for a wee. And then she'd like, get in your gym jams. And then she'd be like, come in here next to mummy. And then that got a weird. And in the end, I said, no, can't be doing this. Anyway, carry on with the sex. I love sex stories.
He said there was a girl that would always be at the sports socials on a Wednesday night who the lads all used to refer as Moonface. She was a big bird, 18 stone minimum.
Moonface.
Nice. Said a couple of the rugby lads had nailed her, but he always held himself in high regard. One night he got so pissed and ended up going back to hers to do a job on her. He said he got back to hers and she handed him a condom to put on. They had sex and then he threw the condom in the bedroom bin. He woke up in the morning to see a board on the wall, which he must have missed when he came in pissed and it was black. On the board, it had about 15 condoms pinned to the board with the initials underneath, all of which were the lads he played with. Who'd also slept with her that season.
Oh, mate, good story. Good old Moonface.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, there you go. You can't be complacent and you've got to have, you know, you've got to go for it. She wanted to complete the 15 and she did it.
Yeah.
Good old Moonface. And she had a lot of adversity. You know, she probably wasn't blessed with all the attributes to go and do that. She's not a Bonnie Blue.
No. So, who's been on the show?
She's been on the show.
No way.
In fact, I saw.
Bonnie Blue was not famous, really, when she came on the show.
Yeah,
Next week, she's famous.
Yeah.
You and her were going to do a film, weren't you?
We were, yeah.
What happened?
There just wasn't enough money in it for me. I have talked to the MPF since then, Micro Penis Foundation, to see if we can do something. But yeah, she's an extraordinary character.
Yeah.
I mean,
in what way?
Friend of the pod.
She's almost undefeated. The thing about Bonnie Blue is she's undefeatable because she just has that attitude that you can't pin her down on anything, really.
Well, you can pin her down.
People do try and pin her down, but she doesn't really care. I mean, you can pin her down. Yeah, sure. She likes to be pinned down.
Yeah, yeah.
But, she gets interviews all the way, and the more she irritates people, the more it's just a weird world. The best thing to do is just ignore her. But yeah, I mean, have you seen the Channel 4?
We'll give her an hour.
No, we gave her a good hour on the pod, and it was good for us. What I'm saying is, have you seen the Channel 4 documentary?
No.
Because you see everything in that.
Do you?
It's quite incredible.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Channel 4. Yeah. Yeah. They're always quite free and easy with the visuals, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And have you ever seen a British Bulldog? You know their mouths are quite sort of prominent.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Foxy, you've been absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
we're going to finish
you,
off
Foxy.
With chat or no chat. Okay. We're going to read out 10 of your colleagues, previous people who've been on your show, friends, I don't know. And you basically say they got chat or no chat.
Okay.
Starting with Katie Price.
Ooh.
Jordan.
A lot of chat. To the point where it does your tits in, but a lot of chat.
If you put on the button. Joey Essex.
Chat.
James Cracknell.
Chat.
Fern McCann.
A lot of chat.
AJ Pritchard.
No chat.
Brother's been on the show.
That was a real low light in our career.
Nice guy, mate. Nice guy, but...
Kieran Dyer?
Chat.
It's quite scary. No.
No, not when you're the DS.
Matt Hancock?
No chat.
Did Matt Hancock try any bands with you?
No, I mean, I threw that whole sort of Mr. Hancock with a silent hand, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a meltdown about that. He wasn't happy. I told him to shut up. Yeah, he was trying to moan at me about
water,
I made him walk across something that he didn't walk across, and he fell a few hundred feet. Well, he fell a bit. Yeah, anyway. I thrown him in the water as well. Yeah, yeah. That was a big
drowned him.
Yeah, yeah.
Teddy Sauce? Doris?
Chat.
Daniel Lloyd?
Chat.
And then Gareth Thomas? Divides opinion.
Good chat. Funny. Very funny guy. Very funny guy. He's actually, he'd love to come on.
Yeah.
He's got some funny stories. He's a bruiser, isn't he? He's a hard guy. When he played rugby, he was a hard guy. And he's still an imposing figure. And, he's getting older, but he's still, he's still in good nick.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when he gets scared, he screams like a 2-year-old.
That might. What
the hell's going on here?
That is hilarious.
It was like a bit threw me.
Plans for Christmas, Clapham, or are we going somewhere else?
So Christmas, I'm going to take the missus away for a little pre-Christmas soiree, so I'm going to miss a little bit of the silly season.
Disappointing.
Not all of it.
No, I'll be around. The Rose and Crown.
Rose and Crown. I was in there 2 days ago.
Yeah, what a pub.
Yeah. So I'm around, but we're going to go away for a little bit. And then we normally do her parents, and then we pop down to Poole, see my daughter. I've got a good friend down there, so we do that. New Year's, not too sure. I'm open for, is Inferno's got a party going on?
Inferno's, potentially, but it depends. I might be seeing that older woman from number 32. I might be doing something with her.
Your annual Christmas get together.
All right.
Foxy, thank you so much for
coming. Yeah, Foxy, thank you very much.
Mate, awesome, thank
Cheers,
you.
Thank
Cheers,
thank you.
Cheers.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.